Welcome to the Analyst Dynasty Podcast. This is your waiver wire primer for week number six. This is a 10 minutes or less edition, right? Try and do these ones quick so you have it. Now, I don't think there's a ton to report this week, to be totally honest with you. Skylar Thompson, Miami. I'm not adding him in like 28, man. I think Bridgewater, there's a really good chance that Bridgewater or Tua is back. And even if they're not, like, I'm not going to run out Skylar Thompson. You know, let someone else burn their bucks on it. But I would not be in the business of adding him, but he bears mentioning. Andy Dalton's a guy that might be out there, might sort of hit wires when Jameis Winston comes back. I just sort of add that I think that he, I would sort of keep him on my roster at this point if I have him. And if he, I'm almost certain he's probably not available in Superflex or two quarterback. Those sorts of leagues. But I would keep him even if Jameis Winston comes back and plays, because I think, you know, we'll see with Jameis. Hasn't been playing like the best. Dalton's been fine. And like that could be a situation where maybe Jameis isn't all the way back healthy and they sort of they let this play out a little bit or something like that. I don't think it's necessarily set in stone that Jameis Winston is a long-term starter. Sam Howell's interesting because Ron Rivera was like overtly critical of Carson Wentz after the game. By the way, Carson Wentz has dropped back to pass more than anyone else in the league. So for what that's worth. But I think Sam Howell is going to get a look-see probably sooner rather than later. And I'd be interested to see if maybe this Washington team goes through some significant changes here, especially with the fact that they have a snaps escalator in terms of the pick. It goes from a third to a second if Carson Wentz plays 70% of snaps. We're not there yet, but a couple more losses, and I don't think you want to risk that escalation. That's a significant escalation if you're going to be picking at the top half of the second round. Some running back stuff here this week I think is very important. Eno Benjamin is probably not available in your leagues. I mention him here because they are playing in an awesome matchup here against Seattle this week, James Conner suffered a rib injury. Darrell Williams suffered a knee injury. It's uncertain as I sit here and record this on Tuesday afternoon what their statuses are for this week. But in the outside chance that Eno Benjamin is actually available, I do think that there's an outside shot that he is actually the starter this week. So optimizing that roster spot, I think, is really important. And if you have him, like, be really attuned to what's going on this week, because this could be an awesome spot start opportunity. DJ Dallas is going to elevate to the running back two spot behind behind Kenneth Walker, who is elevating to the one spot, which has been vacated by an injured Rashad Penny with a broken leg. So that is, I think, a good opportunity to get yourself some potential spot starts down the line. Again, this is one of the ones I think you got to prioritize because, listen, this could be a season-long injury away type role. So Travis Homer's out there. Tony Jones is out there as well in terms of Homer coming back from IR at some point, probably soon. And Tony Jones just got there, being added from the Saints here off of waivers. So just some things I think to keep in mind, sort of secondary issues. But as of right now, DJ Dallas, definitely an aggressive 5%-ish type bid for us here. Really try to get him on our teams here. Like, I think this is a Craig Reynolds plus type situation, to think back to that situation. Joshua Kelly's another one to take it over behind Austin Eckler. Sony Michel only played two snaps this week, and this running back, this backfield finally got on track a bit. So I think that's a positive sign for him. Be watching that going forward. Tevin Coleman was signed by the 49ers, instantly stepped in ahead of Jordan Mason. So I'm probably going to float Mason back out there in some spots. Tevin Coleman, I'm not super interested in as an ad, right? Maybe a percent, something like that. But the problem that I have with him is I don't think it's going to be clear for long, right? You've got Jeff Wilson there. You have Elijah Mitchell, it'll be working his way back soon as well. And Tyrion Davis-Price as well could be working his way back. So we're kind of getting up to the point where I'm not sure how much viability Tevin Coleman's going to have. And even if he does have, you know, some opportunity, it's not going to be the most clear-cut starting chance for him I just don't think his ceiling's that high, you know, for lack of a better word. By the way, we are at week six, by the way. So next week would be week seven for them against Kansas City. They play the Rams in week eight, and then they have a week nine bye. So already you're sort of creeping up towards days are numbered for a temporary injury away type role for a guy like Tevin Coleman. Some other things I think to keep in mind there. Most of these guys are probably rostered in your leagues, but just to keep in mind, Chuba Hubbard actually played ahead of Foreman this week, so just that's notable. Samaje Perine's available in 52% of leagues, probably not ours. Breida's available in some leagues. Caleb Huntley's available in some leagues as well, so he's a name I'd keep in mind. Damian Williams is available to come back from IR, so that's a name to also keep in mind I would think about this week. Justice Hill, his ownership went down a little bit this week, so that's one I'm thinking about. Jalen Warren as well. There's some comments from Mike Tomlin about his role potentially going forward. A couple of wide receivers. We were right for the wrong reasons on De'Ami Brown. It was Cam Sims that actually played the most snaps with Jahan Dotson out, but it was De'Ami Brown making the most of his routes. 16 routes. He goes 3 targets, 2 receptions, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. It's going to be tough to trust him every week, but he can hit from deep as a flex play in the event Dotson, Terry McLaurin, or Curtis Samuel misses any time. They're a big 3 wide receiver team, so I think that's the thing to think about there. Khalil Shakir available in 70% of leagues too. Again, probably not that many dynasty leagues. Maybe some of that, some dynasty leagues, maybe a little bit shallower. I'm not sure I'm going to run out and add him in like 24 man. But if it's something like 28 man, you're trying to sort of recycle through the back end of your roster, being good about optimizing optimizing those spots, right? When you have questionable situations going out on a bye, for example, right? You do cut Brandon Bolden and sort of take on a guy like Khalil Shakir to get a look-see for a week, right? Those type of things. That's the spot where I'd be sort of attuned to a guy like Khalil Shakir, maybe even more so than a long-term hold. A couple of tight ends here, really 3 of them that I think are interesting. Otten's available in 80% of leagues on MFL. Again, it's probably still some dynasty leagues in there. We don't have specific dynasty league metrics, but certainly in your 24 mans and stuff like that, I think Otten's available and or should be. There's a chance that he's available anyways. But he went 3 for 29 and 4 targets week 4. Week 5, he goes 6 for 43. Is it anything super intoxicating? No. It's about 0.9 yards per route run. So, again, you sort of put that on our curve, and it's not great in terms of future success. That doesn't look like an elite guy yet, but again, it's still early and still getting some opportunities here, and I think this could be a situation where, hey, maybe he actually takes off. I know Brate's had a couple of concussions in his career, so there's a little bit of I'm a little wondering how long it's going to take for Brate to get back, so just sort of keeping that in mind. Eric Sauber available in 100% of leagues. Again, I think it's probably less than that. I had to run him out this week and play him. 36 yards on 5 receptions and premium, I'll take it. That may look like roster fodder to some. That is double digit points in tight end premium. He's going to run your routes. Dulcich has already been designated to return, so we'll sort of watch that. But listen, maybe this is a week or two. You get a Saubert opportunity. You have some tight end injuries adding up. Pitts, Waller. You also have some buys as well sort of lining up, and you start seeing like Waller's on a bye this week, which is probably perfectly timed. You've got Hockenson on a bye this week, right? OJ Howard's on a bye, and the Tennessee guys, like, not very much. But again, next week it's going to be Higbee, Irv Smith, Goddard, right? Dawson Knox from the Bills will be next week as well. So you just start looking at those guys. Then it's Kelsey coming up right after that. So again, sort of being a little bit proactive, trying to be in on these guys, I think makes some sense. So Sauber, Otten, and then the last one, Zach Gentry. Freiermuth, I believe he's had multiple concussions too. Had a concussion in week 5. Zach Gentry came out, ran 27 routes, was targeted 6 times for 43 yards, caught 5 balls as well. So if Freiermuth misses time, potential Zach Gentry opportunity. All right, that's going to do it for this edition in under 10 minutes. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.